I would love for people to leave like wanting to just be my friend. That would be dope. That is absolutely the goal. If people can walk out of the room like a little bit happier than they were when they walked in,
yeah,
and I contributed to that,
yeah,
then that is like beyond a success.
Thank you and welcome to everyone who is listening. I know there are tons of options for podcasts and other things for you to pay attention to. It means the world to me that you choose this. There are certain people who dream big dreams and then do nothing about it, except wait until the next night to fall asleep and dream more big dreams. But there are certain other people who dream big dreams and then make things happen. They're living between dreams. And that's what this show is all about. This is about finding people and sharing amazing stories of people who are making things happen. I travel around the world and meet the most inspiring, intriguing, amazing people, and I bring their stories to you so that we can learn from them and have an amazing life of our own. So thank you guys so much for listening. If you do enjoy and appreciate what we're doing here at Between Dreams, we would love to have you go check out patreon.com/betweendreams to find out how you can get access to even more content, behind the scenes, additional interviews. There's all kinds of amazing stuff over there. Of course, the show will always remain free, but when you become a member over at patreon.com, you're just able to see even more stuff. So we really need the people to help out over there so that we are able to continue to deliver this content for free. So thank you guys so much for listening. Really appreciate you being here. We're going to get right into it. Amazing interview today with my friend Brent Pella. It's going to be incredible. So glad he was able to share some of his story and his insight into what he's doing. You're really going to love it. Here we go. It's Brent Pella.
You make a thing and you put it out there into the world and you never know if anyone's ever going to see your thing. So I'm happy at the end of the day to have five people that think one of my things is funny. But at the same time, you know, yeah, a month of work goes into it, a lot of hours from a lot of different people. So it just, every project is different, but I always have like a goal in mind for how I want something to be received or shared or the amount of views. But at the end of the day, if it's good and it makes me laugh, then I guess it's a success.
Yeah, and I think that's a we'll talk more about like lighter stuff, but I think that's a great we were talking about this again right before we started, but like the idea of there's say five people see a video.
Yeah.
That like in the world of YouTube would kind of be considered a failure of a video.
Yeah.
But on the other side of it is we'll use a better number. We'll say 100.
Yeah.
That feels a little bit better.
It feels a little better. Thanks,
just like slightly. Yeah. But that idea, but still most people that post a video that get 100 views are kind of, you know, put hours and hours into it. Oh man, I wish I got a little bit of a better thing. The other side of that is that's 100 people. And I said this earlier, like if I get 100 people to see something that I created, I don't really know 100 people that I'm going to talk to today.
I think it's like a scientific fact. You can't know more than 100 people.
Yeah, because you just, we don't have that capability.
No.
And if you think about doing like going outside and doing something funny and getting 100 people to watch you and laugh.
Right.
That's amazing.
Right.
That's the best day ever.
Yeah.
So we are skewed by this thing, and I think it's so important to realize that these things that we get, even if it's a, quote, small audience, that's great. We have this ability to reach a massive amount of people.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Here's the question. How do you stay motivated to keep rocking and keep things going? And what we're doing, there's a lot of things that can be frustrating. And people that are listening, whether they're in show business, trying to be a live performer or whatever it is, trying to be a doctor or like trying to get a job at the office.
Sure.
That's not what I do.
Yeah.
But that's okay. And that's like a world that some people are trying to do. And it's no different of how hard that is.
Yeah.
And sometimes people are like, oh, showbiz is the hardest thing because it's full of rejection. Well, so is life, like going to get a job at whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So if people are listening to this, where's that moment of we're hitting this wall of frustration.
Yeah, I mean, I just, I've made a lot of YouTube videos, and I've done a lot of live things on stage. Some things have worked, some things haven't, but I've never, with anything I've ever made or any project I've ever done, I've never had a feeling of like second guessing myself while I'm doing whatever it is I'm doing, whether it's like writing a new thing for the stage or producing something for the screen, whatever it is. I always enjoy it so much.
Yeah.
So even if when I put it out, it doesn't get millions and hundreds of millions of views and I don't just get, you know, followers and all the social media goals that a lot of people have, even if that doesn't happen, which it hasn't, it's still a success because of just how fun it was.
Yeah.
And so that chasing that feeling of fun is kind of what I go for on each project more than anything.
Right.
And I feel like that'll pay off eventually.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, then I'm just going to have a lot of fun alive for the next 60 years, and then I'm going to die, and then it's going to be over, and that's fine. But it's fun while it's happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you won't be thinking about, oh, I should have tried that thing.
Right.
That I'm still thinking about. And I heard somebody else talking about this recently of like happiness in being creative life or whatever it is doesn't come from the finished product.
Yeah.
Because you're done with it and then you're.
Yeah, it's done.
It doesn't feel like.
No, it comes from making the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've felt that so much as I've been editing videos and kind of coming up with ideas that like. I don't even care about, I'm like having so much fun creating it and then I post it and then it's kind of over.
Yeah.
So
yeah, like, me, I'll post it and I'll do all the stuff that you're supposed to do to try to get a big audience for it. I'll send it to these blogs, I'll tweet it at these people, I'll share it with these people, I'll boost it, I'll do the Reddit thing. I'll do all those things. None of it ever works. But at the end of the day, I'm still getting a lot of good reactions from the people that are seeing it. And because I had so much fun on it, that just motivates me to start working on the next thing.
My buddy Alex, who has been on the podcast, you guys listening will know him. We talk about him a lot lately because he's been blowing up on YouTube and all the social media with his YouTube things. And I was talking to him the other day and I was like, oh, I feel like I put a lot of work into this video today that I posted.
Yeah.
And he was like, that you just said you put a lot of work into this today. Makes me feel like you didn't put that much work into it. And I was like, wow, what an interesting change of perspective. Because I spent like half a day making this video and I filmed it myself, edited it, like found music to put into it and did all this stuff. And then I very easily could have just wasted that half of a day scrolling Facebook.
Right.
And not had anything.
Right.
And probably felt normal about it. It was just a normal day.
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh, I did all this work and now I feel like I wasted it. So it was just like a weird mindset. And then he was like, keep doing it.
Yeah.
And put that, take it half a day. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, wake up earlier and do other stuff, you know, whatever. And then I was like, okay, yeah, that's true. And like, I still had that feeling. And he's like, and I was like, well, I don't want to spend too much time editing and doing all this stuff, putting into this thing. And he's like, well, one of them for some dumb reason is going to get a million views. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be the one that you think that you like tried really hard with. Then you like did all this stuff. He was like, just do stuff.
Yeah.
And then one of them is going to, for some dumb, weird reason, people are going to connect with it,
right.
And that's going to be the thing. And now, and you're going to be pissed if you half-ass that one.
Right, right.
So, like, go in and make all of them as if that's really there. So that's the thing of, like, just make the stuff.
Right.
And then, you know, you can't be doing it for the views or for the clicks or whatever. You're doing it for the audience.
You got to do it for the love of the game, baby.
Yes.
You got to do it for the love of the game, Yeah, do it for the love.
So let's go into a little bit more fun stuff here about what you're doing. You're creating online content, which is cool and funny and really well produced. Like, it's not just like, oh, let's go film this thing today.
Yeah, no, it's
stuff went into that.
Yeah, yeah. I always tried to put quality before quantity. Which, you know, maybe if I reverse that, I'd be getting millions of views. But I like to take my time.
This
with
is why BuzzFeed
myself.
Won't post your videos.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, we just sabotaged the BuzzFeed relationship.
I know, BuzzFeed, I love you. Please bring me back for another.
I'll make more stuff. Yeah. I promise it won't be as good.
I can bring something to BuzzFeed. I always try to put quality before quantity, so it's, I'm not like in every week, I'm not putting something out every week. It's more like every 2 months a video or something like that. But yeah, that stuff is fun. And that one that I just put out, the election Justin Bieber parody one, we actually shot half of that on an iPhone.
Wow.
Yeah. But it looks pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we got like this, me and my roommate, we got this this Steadicam rig.
Yeah.
Where you can put the iPhone in it and then there's an app.
Yeah.
That recalibrates the phone settings, so you can change the settings and everything. But it looks great, and it was a lot of fun. But yeah, besides that, a lot of stage stuff and working more on live shows and everything.
Yeah, so I'll touch back in on that of like people are like waiting to start something because they don't have a sweet camera.
Oh, dude, you
and
have a camera in your pocket.
That's always my thing of... You know, if you want to start a podcast, the things that I do, start a podcast, start a YouTube channel, whatever.
Yeah.
People are waiting for this thing to happen or something or whatever. Even if you want like a new GoPro camera or something.
Yeah.
It's not, you don't need a $10,000 camera.
No,
which
not
you
anymore.
Used to a couple years ago. And I was talking to, who was it? Michael Rayner yesterday, who was also on the podcast, and he was talking about this, his friend who produced a movie, full-length movie, and he was super tight on budget.
Mm-hmm.
He filmed the entire movie in a day.
Wow.
So they like rented a camera or whatever, like they rehearsed for like, so they just knew they could do it almost in like real time.
Yeah.
And then he needed the camera, so he was just like, we're just going to buy this, or rent this gear and the production and the venue and all that for one day. And now it's like you can do that because the accessibility is there. So
yeah, that is crazy.
Going back to that, like there's no, if you have the idea, the tools are the easy part. And I know I get hung up on the tools of gadgets. So I need this new fancy camera. Then I'm like, no, I don't.
No.
I have a phone. I have a GoPro.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
I mean, they're shooting features on iPhones now.
Yeah.
Tangerine was shot on an iPhone. And that was an amazing movie.
Yeah. So that's the lesson there for that of like, you know, you can go out and make something cool with whatever you have literally on on your pocket. If you're listening to this podcast, you have an iPhone, so stop making excuses. There's people who don't know what a podcast is in the world, so they have a right to maybe complain that they don't have the resources.
Give them a break.
But they're not listening right now, so... So how I met you at the NACA conference in Dallas, I think it was one of them.
Was it? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
Dallas or Buffalo?
I liked your stuff. It was fresh. It was like a little bit different.
Thanks, man.
So you're up on stages in front of audiences.
Yeah.
Which another thing that I like to talk about is this getting up on stage in front of people doing comedy, especially, is hard and it's scary and sometimes it doesn't work.
Right.
And sometimes it is amazing. But for me personally, there's this moment every time I walk out on stage, before I walk out on stage or like do a podcast or whatever it is or hit publish on the YouTube, like, I can hit move to trash or I can hit publish.
Because
it's easy. It would be a lot easier and I'm not going to risk anybody thinking something weird. If I just delete it, no one knows that I spent the past week working on this.
But then you don't take the chance.
And then it would just be gone. It would be simple. I could live a simpler life.
Yeah.
But what I'm doing and what I like other people that are doing are hitting the publish button, walking out on stage, and eliminating that voice that says that they don't want to do it. It's always easier. It always seems like it'd be easier to walk away. Nope. calling this one in.
Yeah.
And so what? How do you keep doing it? What's like a tool that you can share? What keeps you going before when you're about to do this idea or walk out on stage, whatever it is? And I mean, I won't assume anything, but I feel like most people have at some point there's that voice that's saying you should just quit.
It's not that voice. It's usually like, wouldn't you rather go eat right now?
Right.
Before I walk out on stage or put something out, it's there isn't any other voice. The only voice is telling me to just go. You know what I mean? Like there's no chains. There's no like rope pulling me back that I have to fight. It's more like the rope is pulling me out onto the stage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what's so fun about it, and that's why I love it, and why I'm addicted to it. As far as live performance goes,
and that's something that's just you know there is probably something, even if you don't think it is, there is something in your conscious mind that's making that happen.
Yeah,
because you say there's not that hesitant, but I feel like everyone has it at some point.
Yeah,
and that's the thing, you can choose to create a voice that pulls you forward, or you can choose to listen to, or you know, sometimes I make up excuses that aren't even real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. this thing is going to go wrong or something. And I'm like, you step back and think about it. And you're like, well, that's not even real. That's never going to happen. It has never happened in the past.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why am I thinking that it might happen here? So it's a conscious decision to create the voice that you want to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And if that could be a physical thing of writing it down on a, like right there, there's a board of stuff that I'm working on. It takes up the whole wall.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And it's stuff that's not excuses,
right?
It's not read and write down the things that are going to go wrong. It's the things that I want to accomplish. You know,
are
pushing
happen.
Into the new year,
right? Right.
And the steps, and there's specific steps there, and achievable things that are happening. So going back to getting out there and stepping on stage and making things happen, share like a really cool story that has happened because you chose to do that. You chose to get out there. Like, you've been able to make cool videos.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, like, most people aren't able to do that, like, to put together the people to make that happen.
Yeah.
You went out there and did it, and you go to the college, comes, you get to perform in front of colleges. Do you have, like, a couple standout stories that, like, happened just because you were able to put yourself out there and make it happen, and now you're like, I'm so glad I did that.
You know, every once in a while, because with stand-up, you go through these periods of like hard writing where you've worked out all your stuff, you've put it all on stage, it's been going great, and you feel like it's time to start talking about some new things. And then when you start trying to talk about new stuff, it's a little rocky because you don't really have – you're trying to build your perspective a little more, right? So it's a little rocky, and there's these rough patches, and it's hills and valleys, peaks and valleys. But there's always a point when I'm going through one of those low periods through those valleys where I'll do a show, and then afterwards somebody in the audience will like specifically walk up to me and say, hey man, that thing you said about, like, for example, I talk about growing up a lot and childhood and growing up in the 90s and all the friends that I grew up with. And there was a guy that came up to me once and he was like, hey man, you were talking about the kid that like went to the bathroom and pulls his pants all the way down and like lifted his shirt all the way up. Dude, that was me, man. I can't believe you brought that up. It was so funny. And it was amazing. It was so cool. Cause like, here's a guy in, you know, New Mexico that I would never see again for the rest of my life. And, I got to like form a really cool connection with him.
Yeah.
And so something like that's always what I'm reaching for. That's what I'm trying to grab at. So even during those low periods, I know there's always another one of those moments that's just around the corner if I keep on going. And then sure enough, it'll happen. So stuff like that really stands out for me.
Yeah, and there was those moments, I'll touch back, I feel we're cycling back into all these big picture things, which is nice, that thing of whatever we're doing. I feel like there's so many times when that feels like you're in that, you know, as you said, the peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
When you're in the valley, it's just, oh, it's like doomsday. Yeah. It's like, I don't know what. But it's like, if you realize that there's, you're kind of at the bottom now.
Yeah.
So it's probably not going to get worse.
No, it can't get worse. It cannot get worse than trying to, like, tell a Capri Sun joke at midnight in a bar in Sherman Oaks in front of, like, 2.5 people because one of them is half dead drinking his 8th beer at the bar.
Yeah.
And you're trying to talk about Capri Sun on a Wednesday night. And that's, like, the lowest of the low. You
yeah.
know? And then you're not getting anything from anybody. The bartender hates you because she wants you to leave because you're driving customers away. And then you go home and you go to your fridge because you're hungry, but all you have in the fridge is one lonely Capri Sun. And it's just, you're so sad, so you drink it. Now you're crying on your couch drinking Capri Sun naked watching Planet Earth 2. There's valleys. That's like rock bottom. Okay, this was last week. So that was rock. That's like rock bottom. But there's always, for me at least, and I hope this is true for other people, even when you're at that low point creatively, there's always something to look forward to. And
yeah.
So I try to keep that mentality. There's other low points in life with family or relationships or health. But from a creative standpoint, that low place that a lot of performers experience, I feel like can be worked through by just remembering that there is going to be that high pretty soon.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and that's, for me, it's same. You know, we all go through those. Again, it's not exclusive to showbiz or performance or whatever. It's everything, and that could be personal life, professional life, whatever, those
yeah.
things. And I find that the craziest, most amazing things, the gigs or something or opportunities that I get,
mm-hmm.
almost always come out of the blue when I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Totally.
Like,
yeah.
I'm stuck.
Yeah.
I've been sitting here, and I, like, don't know what to do. And a
yeah.
great thing about that moment of being there at this valley is, like, you're like, well, I'll try this because what have I got to lose?
Right.
What a great feeling it is to say, what have I got to lose?
Right. Like, yeah. yeah.
In a way, like, it's in the moment, you're like, this sucks. But you create something new out of necessity. You're like, I have to do something. It
mm-hmm.
comes with this podcast. Sometimes, like, when I'm most productive with the podcast is when I'm least busy.
Yeah, sure.
And I'll say, oh, all right, well, I don't know what to do. All right, I'll reach out to like 5 people on that I just have to find. And again, that's hard. I had to reach out to a stranger and say, hey, you do you want to record? Can you want to share your story?
Right.
And then it's like, because I do that, it leads to, oh, they knew this person. And now I'm in this. Now I'm talking to this. Now I'm inspired by them. And now I'm, oh, that gives me an idea, and now I'm out of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, if I was just, like, didn't put myself through that, I wouldn't have had that opportunity. That was, like, it's a long ramble, but I think the point is there of, like, forcing yourself into these things, and then you're able to get yourself. And
yeah.
something, this is even maybe a little bit, again, a little bit spacey of a thing, but I found that you build the momentum of just anything. Momentum, it doesn't need to be, I feel like, because the podcast doesn't really lead to me getting booked to do performances.
Mm-hmm.
But I found that, like, just being active, like, keeping the train rolling.
Yeah.
You're, like, picking up, you know, be like a, to create a visual. You're rolling through this town, you're picking up people on the thing,
yeah.
and you're building this more and more momentum, more things. And then, like, the guy the driving the train, he's just driving the train.
Yeah.
But now it's like, because this thing is becoming a thing, we're picking up people and picking up opportunities, and then something that completely different related that it just like comes when I have that momentum. It's not when I'm thinking about it. It's when I build the momentum and there's like, I feel like there's some sort of bigger thing that's happening that's like, cool, you put the effort in and you started the momentum. Now this unrelated, seemingly unrelated thing happens.
Sure.
And it always seems like, well, there's no way that gap was bridged between this opportunity and me doing this,
right.
except that there was just this overall umbrella of momentum that I just created in my like presence.
It's a great train metaphor. Yeah.
I just made that up.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah, that's true.
Just made that we recorded that. Now it'll live on forever. So yeah, I think that's the thing of like just creating that momentum. And as you said, just doing it.
Mm-hmm.
In that valley of making it happen. So you had a good example of things that were just like a moment that's not working on stage. Where you're just like, oh, what? Do you have any other? I don't want to dwell on it, but I think it's fun to acknowledge not just the triumphs, but these like moments of in that moment where you're like, oh, what the heck am I doing? And then you get through it. Do you have any others that are like,
I question myself every day, you know?
Maybe one that you were in that moment, but then by powering through it, you realized that that was the way through that was through it.
Yeah. I think as far as stand-up goes, if I have a story or a joke or a premise or an idea that I'm trying to get out and I'm vocalizing on stage and it's not working, I'll just keep forcing myself, just keep talking. It's just, I keep talking. Maybe it's because I'm a little too narcissistic and I think people should listen to me. No, I try to talk through it until I find something funny, and maybe I don't find anything funny and I never ever talk about that topic again. But more often than not, I'll just keep trying to talk about it until something comes out that's relatable, you know?
Yeah. So your stuff on stage is really like story based.
Yeah.
And personal, just kind of like personal stories of your experiences and things that you, things that you've seen.
Yeah.
And that you're commenting and creating the funny moments out of them. How does that, your personal life or growing up life fit into, you know, it inspires all of your stuff.
Yeah, it inspires all of it. I try to make fun of my sister as many times as possible. She's 15, so, and I grew up with her, and I was raised by a single mom, so was my sister, so that influences a lot of it. I found that I'm most comfortable talking about where I come from, you know, as if I'm just talking to people about my life and everything and hoping that they care, because some people probably might not and they want to hear political stuff, but I don't really get political except for that last video. the people that shaped me are my mom, my sister, my friends and other members of my family. So I try to include them as much as I can as far as stand-up goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you want people to, when they say the sentence or paragraph about you, what you've created with your life of work, how do you want people to remember you?
Oh, God. Oh, man. What do I want on my tombstone?
Or I feel like that's after the show, after one of your shows, what's the feeling you want people to leave? We won't go to the end of life.
They should just leave. Like, God, that kid was freaking weird. but he was great.
I think that is okay. That's a interesting thing, because that's what, again, when I saw you, I only saw your short set. It was a 10-minute set or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was this thing of like, at first you were like, wait, I don't even exactly remember a lot of the individual jokes that you did, but I remember this thing, the overall feeling, and that's the thing for me.
Oh,
it's like,
cool.
I don't want people to say, hey, you were good at catching those balls. Like, that's the worst thing that you could remember.
Right. No. Yeah, the overall is, I would love for people to leave, like, wanting to just be my friend. That would be dope. That is absolutely the goal. I want every person in the room to just be my friend, so I can be their friend and we can hang out and we can all hang out and we can all be friends, and then we can stop climate change, you know, because climate change is real. But that's the overall feeling is I want people to walk away with like a happy vibe, just a good vibe, just a good happy vibe.
Yeah,
that's it. I don't cool. I'm not trying to split the room. I don't, some people do and that's awesome and I think they're hilarious and I've seen it happen and it's great with what they get into and what they talk about. But I want everyone to just be happy.
Yeah.
A little, if people can walk out of the room like a little bit happier than they were when they walked in.
Yeah.
And I contributed to that.
Yeah.
Then that is like beyond a success. Even if I go home and eat top ramen and call my mom to ask for money, you know, but if I can make people a little bit happier, then that makes me feel good. And that's the goal.
Yeah. Yeah. And going back to what, like that feeling of what you do, I just remember like at first I was like, because we were at, again, at this, people listening don't really care about this, we were at a NACA college booking conference where we showcase our act and do a little sample. And some of the acts can be hit or miss. You don't know what you're going to get. Like, some of them are amazing. Some of them are like really tedious
to
get
crazy
through.
Some are like, oh, like a hypnotist, a shirtless with a parrot on his arm. Right. And then you got to follow that.
Yeah. Oh. And you just don't know. And people like, so you have this feeling someone walks out on stage and you have to instantly judge them.
Right.
So I remember watching your set and I was like, at first I was like, well, is this going to like, where's it going?
Right.
Because it wasn't really like hit punchline jokes.
Yeah.
But then there was like the stories. And then I just remember that like at first, and I felt that in the room of the people were like kind of at first, wait, is a punchline comes? I feel like you don't have this structure, this joke structure of like here, punchline, laugh, break, next thing. It's like you're up there boom, you hit this story. And then, and then people realize that you're not
it's organized chaos.
Yeah, yeah. And then the audience, you felt this audience change, be like, oh, okay, we don't need to wait for this line to happen.
Right.
Because you're just up there like, boom, boom. And then it's like this feeling of this dude up there on stage is just like having a blast.
Yeah.
And hanging out.
Yeah.
Just talking.
Yeah.
And it was so cool because so many stand-ups especially try so hard to hit that one thing and that's going to be their gimmick or something. Mm-hmm. And then I realized with you on stage, there wasn't that thing. It was just like you were up there having a good time.
Yeah.
And that was great.
That's
and
cool.
Then the ending of your thing with the music was really great.
The Adele. It's
just like, yeah. And that bit, I just love that because it kind of summarized the whole thing of like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And on purpose, and we're like, and I said this to you afterwards. I was like, I'm so glad. I feel like most performers would do that for a few seconds.
Yeah.
And then they would be like, okay, I did it. Mm-hmm. And then yours, like, it kept going. Yeah, I think I even told you, like, it could go longer.
Yeah.
It could just keep where you just, like, it becomes funny because it doesn't end.
Right, right.
And that's the people that haven't seen it won't know what we're talking about, but that'll make them maybe come see a show.
Come see a show.
So, yeah, that, I think that the whole thing is that if you can create this overall feeling.
Yeah, that's the goal, for sure.
And again, to relate it back to people that are listening, there's like, we have these individual goals, I think, that we get maybe hung up on. And I was just talking with Jack Dagger, which that one will probably be coming out before this. You guys will listen to that. And he's a knife thrower. He throws knives around, not at a target girl.
Ugh.
And we talked about like the focus that's needed to do this.
Yeah.
But then also we talked about how if you have focus on the one little thing, sometimes it's important to kind of see the broad picture as
right,
well.
Right, right.
So we, you know, whatever it is that we're working on, you know, writing jokes or learning how to throw knives or juggling, catching things on stage, that's the thing. But we also have to see this big picture.
Right.
And that's what your stuff, I think, to summarize it, is great at seeing this big picture that you don't need to people. I would think that a comic doesn't want somebody to come up afterwards like, hey, the way you structured that line was brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like, you know, it's a great compliment.
Awesome compliment. But I like, would rather have somebody be like, oh, my dude, this whole thing, I know what you're going for. That was awesome, dude. Yeah.
So that's the thing.
Let's
like,
go get a steak.
You know? Yeah. It's so important. Like, to see that broad picture, and that's what you're doing so amazingly, of seeing the broad picture of creating the atmosphere that you want people to be in.
Yeah.
And that's great. And I like to wrap things up with the general question of, and we know you said when you're going into stuff, you just feel that pull.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people don't feel that pull. They know it could be there to pull them forward, and they see other people happening, but they're in this time of thinking, well, I feel it pulling the other way.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like everything in the world is working against me to not work. And I see people going up on stage and it looks easy for them. I see them making YouTube videos. It looks easy for them. It probably isn't. It looks that way. What do you say to somebody who is in that moment? Maybe they're in that valley that we talked about before.
Yeah.
And they just, they can hint that something's there, but can't quite get the moment there. They see the train going, haven't jumped on it.
Sure.
What do you have for somebody that's in that moment right now, like today?
Mm-hmm.
They're in that moment. They don't know what to do. Like, they don't know what they see. If I could do this, I could do this. But those are the four steps away.
Right.
I need to take that first step today. Where's that in your world?
What would I say to that person?
Yeah.
Don't take that first step and see what happens. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's less competition for us. It's less people to move past for me. So stay there. I dare you to stay there.
Yeah.
I dare you. And see if you're happy staying there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I'm not.
You know what that feels like. Yeah.
If you're, I don't know. If somebody asked me that before. Somebody asked me if they should just stop, if it was all worth it. Somebody in the entertainment world, they asked me if they should stop. They said, Brent, I don't know. I feel like I'm not getting anything done. I wonder if I should just stop and quit. And I was like, yeah, just quit. Go ahead, quit. I don't want to be like the motivational guy. There's an awesome Tony Robbins documentary that you can watch. That's really what I would say is if you're in that moment where you don't know what to do, go watch that Tony Robbins documentary, and I guarantee you will pull yourself up. But really, I told this person, I said, just quit then.
Yeah,
like quit. Like, why are you asking me if you should quit or not? If quitting is even a thought in your mind, then you should quit. Because if, like, there is no plan B for me or for you, maybe for you or for a lot of people, but if there is a plan B, then go do that plan B, because it's in your head for a reason.
Yeah.
And that's not to be rude or anything, because maybe me saying that will make someone think, oh wait, no, I don't want to quit. That'd be awful.
Right.
I love doing this, you know?
Yeah.
So it really, at the end of the day, it truly, truly, truly does not matter what type of advice this person gets from me or anybody else. If quitting is in their head, then I say quit and see if you're happier.
Yeah.
Because I don't have that thought in my head. So,
right.
So I don't know what quitting would be like, because it's not, I've never had that thought. If I did have that thought, then I would quit and I'd go work at Baskin Robbins and I'd serve 31 flavors all day and maybe I'd be happier there.
And thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Brent for joining and sharing your story. Really amazing. Really appreciate everyone's time being part of the Between Dreams family. If you enjoyed it and appreciate it and want to learn more about how you can help continue make this show happen, we'd love for you to go head over to patreon.com/betweendreams. Over at patreon.com/betweendreams, you can find out how you can get even more bonus content, additional interviews, behind the scenes, and whatever you want to see. You can offer suggestions of what you want to see. At patreon.com/betweendreams, you are able to contribute to help this show remain free for audiences. So the actual show will remain free. The bonus content is what we're working with over on patreon.com. That will really help us to continue to deliver weekly episodes, amazing episodes of the Between Dreams podcast every Monday for you to enjoy and listen to. So again, the show will remain free, but it's for people who really want to help out. You can head over there and check that out at patreon.com/betweendreams. Otherwise, thank you guys so much for being part of this. Really excited that I'm able to deliver this show every week, and really excited that people are listening. I've had several people stop me that I don't even know at different shows and performances here in Los Angeles and say, hey, I've been listening to the podcast and really been loving it. So that's just more than I could have ever imagined, people actually listening that I'm not friends with. It started off just me talking with my friends and sharing some stories, and now we're starting to turn this into a real thing, and it's amazing, and I'm excited to see where we can go with it this year. So thanks again, guys, and we'll be back next week, as always, with a brand new episode. Thank you very much, and I will talk to you soon. Goodbye.